Mary, Did You Know? Beautiful song. And played very beautifully by Miss Mary Ellis, and we appreciate her music. This morning, as we approach the time when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there are a lot of people today who have a lot of questions about Christianity, wondering if there's really anything to it. You know, how about the promises we hear about how God desires to bless those who will trust Him and accept His gift of salvation? Is there really any truth to the promise of living with Him in heaven for eternity? If I choose to do things my own way, will I really spend eternity in torment in a place called hell? A lot of questions a lot of people have that are answered if we believe that this is, in fact, God's Word, that it is true. And I can tell you this morning for a fact, God's Word is true. I've experienced many of God's promises concerning how He'll bless us if we will accept His gift of salvation and allow Him to have control of our lives. If we'll do the things that He tells us in His Word, the Bible, to do, I know, because I've experienced His love and forgiveness and blessings in my life. I can't make you believe it, but I can certainly encourage you to. I've also experienced His discipline when I failed to do what He had called me to do. I can tell you about that too. And it's not a pleasant place to be. God's Word is absolutely true. God is a God of love. He's also a God of wrath. He's like a good parent. Better than a good parent, actually, because there's nothing impossible with Him. As a matter of fact, I titled the sermon this morning, Is It Really Impossible or Is It Really Possible, you know, for these things to be? I know as a good parent, good parents want the best for their children. I don't think we have a parent that really, if they're in their right mind, that really does not want the best for their children. Most of us as parents really appreciate it when our children do things that we would like for them to do. You know, they're obedient to us. They're respectful to us. They honor our authority and our wishes. And God is that way. You know, He loves you. He wants to bless you. Unlike we as earthly parents, He has no limitations on what He can do to bless you. And He desires to bless you. But He also wants you to do what He asks you to do. And so, we need to understand that God's Word is absolutely true, and we need to abide by it and experience the blessings that God has for us. One man said to another, how do you know the Bible's true? That you can go to heaven when you die. To which he replied, well, if I'm wrong, I have nothing to lose. But if you're wrong, you have everything to lose. How true that statement is. And so I believe, because I've experienced it, because I've experienced so many of God's blessings, I've felt His Spirit leading in different times, and I know that the Bible's true, and we can trust it. We can base our life on it. And so we need to do that. And I want to encourage you to do that. Believe God's Word. Trust Him to forgive you and save you. Begin today to live for Him and do the things that honor Him. I promise you'll not regret it. I'm constantly reminded of Scripture in Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 5 and 6, where the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." How true that is. Don't depend on your own thinking, your own understanding. We're going to look at some cases where had the people, the characters that are mentioned in the Bible, had they depended on their own understanding and their own abilities, we would have missed out on a lot of things today. But because they didn't depend on their own understanding, because they trusted in the Lord and allowed Him to direct their paths, then we have been blessed because of those things. So, as we look at those things this morning, we're going to start in Genesis and we're going to wind up in the New Testament. So, sit back, relax, get comfortable. We may be here a while. We won't be here that long. So, but we are going to start in Genesis and talk about the birth of a young man named Isaac. Isaac's birth is, and the prophecy and is found in Genesis, beginning in chapter 13. And there we see a man named Abram, and God promised him that he would be the father of many nations through a son who would be born to his wife Sarai. He'd have more descendants than the number of the dust of the earth, which is innumerable, and more than the stars in the sky. He told him on one account to look up in the sky and count the stars. If you can count the stars, then you can count your descendants. That many descendants that Abram would have through his son, his promised son, that God had promised him. As we look through that, and we're not going to read all of it this morning. Some of you know the story. And for those of you who do not know, Abram and Sarai were human beings, just like you and I are. They had struggles just like you and I have. And Abram and Sarai are getting on up in age, and they're beginning to wonder, well, how's this going to be? You know, God's promised this son, but, you know, Sarah had been barren. She'd not been able to have children, and they're getting pretty old, and still no children. And so, finally, Sarah suggests to Abram, maybe you need to just, you know, have a relationship with my servant girl, Hagar, and have a child with her. And through that, then all these promises can come true. But that wasn't God's plan. That was their plan. And so they did that. But that wasn't God's plan. And so it didn't work out. You see, when we do things our way, it's probably not going to work out if it's contrary to God's way. And so it's better if we just wait and do it His way. And several times in that story, as you read about Abram and Sarai, who later became Abraham and Sarah, you'll see that the Bible mentions it in his time or at the right time. We have many times we put timelines on things, and when we think they ought to happen, and if they don't happen in that time frame, then we get discouraged and discontent. And a lot of times we might even give up on God doing what He's promised to do. Abram and Sarai struggle with that because God wasn't working in their time frame. This promised child had not come, and they're getting old. And so we see that as we read on about that, and I'm reminded of Scripture that's recorded over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, where it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God, when God makes a promise, it's good. He will see it through. Whatever He promises, He will see it through. There are conditions to promises many times, and if we don't do our part, if we don't do what He called us to do, we'll miss out on the benefits of a lot of His promises. But if we will do what He has called us to do, every promise will be fulfilled. And so, by this time, Abram and Sarah are well up in years. As a matter of fact, Abram was 99 years old and Sarah was 90 when Abram asked the question, am I at 100 years old and my wife at 90 years old going to be able to bear a child? But it was God's work. It was God's promise. And God came through. In Genesis 18 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." And so we see as we read that story that absolutely came through to pass. How would his descendants be more than the dust of the earth, even having this child at 100 years old, when he was 100 years old and his wife was 90? How's he going to be have that many descendants that are numbered more than the dust of the earth and more than the stars in the heaven? Well, if we jump on over to the New Testament now into Matthew, the first chapter of Matthew. Remember, when you read the first chapter of Matthew, that's got all the begats in it, you know. It gives the lineage of Jesus Christ. It starts off in verse 1. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and on and on and on the begats go. And until we get down to verse number 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away of Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. So Isaac was in that family lineage that we see Jesus Christ coming from. So how was he the father of many nations? How were so many people blessed because of Isaac? Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus' birth. And all the children of God that come through that lineage. And so we see that although it seemed impossible for man, and in fact it was impossible for man, but with God nothing is impossible. Last week we talked about a man named Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. You remember? They were told, and even after they were too old to bear children, the angel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias to tell him that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a son who would be named John. He'd be great in the eyes of the Lord and turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And that seemed to be an impossibility because Zacharias and Elizabeth were both well beyond childbearing age. As a matter of fact, Zacharias mention that to the angel Gabriel when he was told that. How can I? At this age, how can I bear children and my wife? And so, he was troubled, the Bible says, and fear fell on him. But the angel said to him, "Fear not, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in age. Zacharias didn't understand how that was possible for him and his wife Elizabeth to have a child at that age. But that was God's plan. And with God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible through him. He was God's messenger to come as a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was actually Jesus' cousin. He was 6 months older than Jesus, as we read on there in that first chapter of Luke, in Luke's Gospel. And so he was to go before Jesus and tell, we talked about last week, how we need to be like little John's. We need to be telling people about Jesus. Wherever we go, we need to be announcing. We need to tell people, and we need to show people the love of Christ and let them know that Jesus, in fact, did come to set an example for us. He lived on this earth for some 33 years, set an example for you and me. He was tempted everywhere that we're tempted, and more so, yet he never sinned. And he was willing to give his life, and did give his life, as after he had been beaten beyond recognition and hanged on a cross, where he gave his life to pay for our sins. And if we will believe that and accept that, repenting of our sins, the Bible assures us that we will be forgiven and that we'll be saved. And we can begin to live for him. We will have a new life. We become a new person. Actually, when we genuinely trust Jesus to be our Savior, repenting of our sins, and we become a new person. That's what John was doing. He was going about telling people about Jesus. And that's what we need to be doing today. Wherever we go, we need to make sure to let our light shine, to let Christ shine through our life, so that our actions will reveal a life of Christ-likeness, so that people will be able to see Christ living in us, because we're doing things that are in agreement with God's Word. We're doing things that God's called us to do, that he wants us to do, that we're representing him well, so that we can lead others to faith in Jesus Christ. And so there we see again that John's birth was a miracle. We see God bringing the impossible to pass. When John was born to Zacharias and Elizabeth, when they were both too old to bear children. But with God, all things are possible. So is it really possible? Absolutely, it is possible, because nothing is impossible with God, no matter what it is. I've experienced some things that seemed impossible, humanly speaking, but God has intervened and taken care of us, protected us and provided for us many times. We've seen things happen. The problem is, too many times we try to explain those things away. We talk about luck and how lucky we were, you know, that we were not injured in a situation, or that we were just a few seconds too late to be involved in that tragic accident or whatever. Well, I want to tell you something. It's not luck. It is God's providence, that God is taking care of us and he protects us. And so stop giving credit to luck and give credit to love, the love of Jesus Christ, God's love for you. I like what a couple said when they came through walking from North Carolina to Peru. I believe that's right. And they came by and actually spent a week or so with us here and ministering, and a young couple, and they were walking by faith. And they said, there are no coincidences. There are God-cidences. I've used that many times. It's not a coincidence. It's a God-cidence. You know, it's not a coincidence that you were just running just a few minutes or a few seconds late and avoided that tragic accident, or you just passed by before that limb fell out of the tree and hit that could have killed you, or whatever the situation might be. That's not a coincidence. It's a God-cidence. God protecting us. And I like that. There are no coincidences, just God-cidences. Because God's in control. Ultimately, He is in control. And so, we see these things that are humanly impossible. The first we looked at was Isaac's birth, which seemed to be an impossibility for humanity. And it was. But with God, nothing's impossible. And then we've seen John's birth. John was born just like Isaac when his parents were well beyond childbearing years. But nothing, again, is impossible with God. And now we look at the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ, the one whose birth we're about to celebrate. And I encourage you not to get so caught up in all the fanfare of Christmas to forget what we're really celebrating when we celebrate Christmas. When you take Christ out of Christmas, you know what you got left. You got a mess. That's all you got left. Take Christ out of Christmas. Better keep Christ in there. Okay? Celebrate Him. Celebrate His birth. So as we talk about the announcement of Jesus' birth, another impossibility made possible by God. Here we have a young couple. They're engaged to be married. Their names are Joseph and Mary. Well, the angel Gabriel appears to Joseph in a dream and tells him that this young lady that he is espoused to or engaged to be married to is going to have a child. Think for a moment what Joseph must have thought. How in the world can this be? He knew that he had not been with Mary. He had not had an affair with Mary. He knew that was not, it was not possible through that route. I'm sure, even though he loved Mary as much as he did, there had to be some questions in his mind. Could Mary possibly have been unfaithful to me? How? I love her so much. And she appears to love me so much. How could she be unfaithful to me? Questions that any one of us, we can deny it if we want to, but there's not a person here that would not have those questions, no matter how much love you had for that person. When this announcement is made, that you're not going to question that. You're not going to question faithfulness. Joseph, I'm sure, had a lot of questions. How in the world? What's going on? How could she do this to me? But he loved her so much that the Bible says he was willing to put her away privately. In other words, he was just going to keep it quiet and nothing be said about it, because he didn't want to embarrass her, because he loved her so much. He didn't want her embarrassed. But the only way that he could figure out that she's going to have a child is that she has been with a man. Okay? And so, as he struggles with that, if you look at Matthew, chapter 1 again, and look at verses 18 through 25. You'll find that account where it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, before they'd ever had any sexual contact, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." And so here we find another impossibility that's made possible. Joseph did not understand. He didn't understand how Mary, his engaged-to-be wife, could have a baby when they had not had any relationship there together. And so the angel explained that to him. And Joseph had faith. Sometimes our faith is tested, isn't it? We get in a situation sometime, we think, how in the world are we going to get through this? How are we going to make it? You ever been in that place when you didn't have finances to take care of something need to be taken care of, but you're trusting God to take care of it? And you're thinking, well, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know. I know that I know that I know that God has promised to take care of me because I'm His child and I've been faithful to Him, and I'm going to remain being faithful to Him. And how great it is when you're able to see God work in miraculous ways. I've seen it happen when we didn't have money for a particular bill that was due or something, and a check comes in the mail. We had no idea it was coming. There it is. And it's exactly enough to take care of the obligation. I've seen it happen many times in my life and the lives of others when God has provided when there was no way otherwise. God will provide. And so Joseph had, he put his faith in God. The angel told him, it's okay. It's okay. Mary's not been unfaithful. This child is God's child. She has been impregnated by the Holy Ghost. So don't worry about that. And then we see the angel Gabriel making the announcement to Mary. It's recorded back over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. It says, "In the sixth month," and that was the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy to John, when Elizabeth had been, was 6 months pregnant with John, "in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph." By the way, that it was a virgin. Mary was a virgin. That's another indication that she had not been with a man. And so this angel came Gabriel came to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came in to her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Again, Mary is confused, kind of like Joseph was. How's this going to be? How's this going to happen? I've not been with a man. How can I possibly bring forth a child? I don't understand that. But the angel, and she conveyed that in the next few verses. Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" But the angel said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee." In verse 37, the answer, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." We need to get hold of that. It's mentioned several times in these accounts that we've talked about, in Isaac's birth, in John's birth, and now in the birth of Jesus Christ. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible. And so when you're facing that impossibility, and you turn it over to God and say, "God, I'm depending on you. I'm trusting you to do this." And wait on him, and in his time, he will bring it forth. God is a God of impossibilities. He's able to do it. Even when we don't know how, he's going to do it. And it's not our responsibility to know how. Remember several years ago as I was pastoring a church and had some people in the church that got crossways with me and decided they wanted to get rid of me. And so you know how you get rid of the pastor? You just cut the salary and the pastor will leave, right? If he's there for the money, that's what he'll do. He'll leave. And so they started a campaign to try to cut the salary. And so I sat down and met with them and told them, "Hey, just do whatever you need to do. And I'm not here for the salary to start with. God called me here. He hadn't called me away yet. When he does, I'll be gone. But until he does, I'll be right here. But don't worry about me. Don't worry about my finances, because God's called me, and as long as I do what God's called me to do, God's promised to take care of me, so I don't really care if I go to the grocery store and the attendant says, 'Preacher, go ahead and get whatever you need. It's already taken care of.' I can drive up to the gas station and the attendant call out and say, 'Fill it up, preacher. It's already paid for.' I don't care how he does it. He don't have to explain to me how he's going to do it. God has promised that if we will be obedient to him, if we will do what he's called us to do, he will take care of us. Can we believe that? That's the question. Can we believe it? Is it really possible for God to do those things that we can't understand? Well, the greatest thing that he's ever done for us that I can't understand, it's given his only begotten son to die on a cross after being beaten beyond recognition. I've told you a lot of times, and a lot of people say, "Well, preacher, I read the Bible. There's so much of it I don't understand." I don't have a problem with that. I don't understand John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I have two sons. I promise you, I do not have a son that I would willingly stand back and watch be beaten, watch him, people spit in his face, watch him put a crown of thorns on his head and hang him on a cross when I had the ability to stop it. I don't understand that magnitude of love. Do I believe it? Absolutely, I believe it. I don't understand it. I'm not there. I can't grasp that magnitude of love. I'm not there. I'm not willing to give my child for somebody that's just beaten them. I'm not really to the point of being willing to give my child for people that have been good to me. Okay? Don't understand that magnitude of love. But it's absolutely true. I believe it. And I hope you believe it. And I hope you'll put your faith and trust in Him. As we prepare for Christmas to celebrate His birth, let's don't forget Him. And let's remember, as we remember Him, nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible with Him. No matter how impossible it seems to you, and it may be impossible to you physically, not impossible to Him. Put your faith and trust in Him. Trust Him. Is it really possible? Absolutely. It's possible. Because nothing is impossible with God. Father, we love You and thank You. Thank You again this morning for loving us. I thank You for Your Word. Lord, for giving us the opportunity to be able to study Your Word. Lord, to see the things that You have done in the past, and to see the things that You have promised us that You're going to do in the future, and the things that You're willing to do for us now. God, I thank You that we can serve a God who has no impossibilities. Nothing is too difficult for You. For that we're grateful and we're thankful. Father, I pray for every person seated in this building today. If there's one who's never trusted You to be Savior, allowed You to become Lord of their lives, I pray right now as the Holy Spirit deals with that heart, convicting and drawing them to Yourself. God, that You would help them to understand our desperate need for a Savior. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot be good enough to be saved. We must simply put our faith and trust in You, repenting of our sins, trusting Jesus and what He's done as payment for our sins. We accept that payment as we repent and turn from our sins and begin to live for You. Lord, help us this morning, I pray. And I pray that no one leave here until they've made that decision to accept Jesus Christ. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. Music's playing. You know your heart. You know your relationship with Christ. If you've never asked Jesus to forgive you and save you, there will never be a better time than today. Because tomorrow may never come. Jesus Himself said to us, "Be ready, for in such a time as you think not, the Son of Man is coming." He could come today. None of us knows how much longer we have. Don't take a chance and wait too long.